SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Off and running another hour here of Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and I am joined right off the bat by our good friend George Kurtz in the house here. I don't understand the NHL scheduling. You get all these games last night, you get two tonight, a few more tomorrow, then you get it's like feast or famine here with the NHL, but at least we have a couple of decent games, depending on how you're going to look at it here, between the Blues and Edmonton and the Rangers taking on Columbus here. So a couple of games on the ice. We'll start with Edmonton, right? I mean, there's no way Edmonton loses to the Blues, who I think, what, have lost five out of their last seven? It has not been a good run here for St. Louis, but this is a game Edmonton should win and should win easily, no?
Well, you would like to think so, right? But you don't know what Blues team is going to show up. The Blues, they have some players here. And you mentioned they're struggling of late, bad timing for the Blues. The trade deadline is 9 days away here. They're sort of making it easy for management of which way they're going to go here. But Edmonton, you know, they started the season very poorly. They went on the massive win streak, and now they've been so-so of late. You know, they've been an average hockey team. So do I think they're going to win? Yeah, of course I do. Do I think it's going to be easily? Probably not. They've been getting up to slow starts, right? The last couple of games, they don't show up to a third period. And also, they turn it on when they're trailing by a goal or two. Yeah. That being said, I'm on Edmonton. I lean towards the over as well. I think you can play this game. You're not going to bet Edmonton on the money line, right? So it's either, you know, parlay. We'll do a parlay with the early game. Or maybe you want to take Edmonton on the goal line or take Edmonton and a goal scorer. And anytime goal scorer, I don't mind that. And if I was going to say goal scorer, I think you're looking at Zach Hyman or Leon Draisaitl.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, if it's a blowout city, it certainly will pay to have some Edmonton Oiler anytime goal scorers in your pocket for sure. The other game here tonight, I feel like we just watched. Oh, yeah, we did. In fact, Sunday and Columbus, if I'm not mistaken, beat the Rangers. In fact, ended their, I think it was their winning streak of 11 games. They were trying to make it 12 in a row, and the Blue Jackets said absolutely not. But the only reason I'm turning into this game here is because I have to see this kid again, Rempe, who was learned a very valuable lesson there in that game Sunday where, you listen, I get it. You're 6'8". You're picking on dude 6 foot. You better know what you're getting yourself into, because he got himself a butt whoop in there in that game, and then eventually the Rangers lost. Do they get back here tonight against Columbus?
That was a great fight, man. That was an all-time hockey fight. They were throwing haymakers there. Back in the days, they didn't try to avoid the punches. They were just, you know, whoever's going to knock each other out first. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, they really try to. Well, it's more of a wrestling match a lot of times than anything else. But that was a great fight there. And as you said, Rempe paid the price. He got the black guy going now here. Yeah, I think they get revenge tonight. I don't see any way on God's green earth that Columbus, a non-playoff team, is going to beat the Rangers twice. Maybe you caught them off guard in Columbus over the weekend. Fine, you ended the winning streak. Rangers got to be a little angry about that, right? You want to get some revenge tonight. So, yeah, I'm on the Rangers tonight. Like I said, two games tonight. It's an easy parlay favorite for me. You take Edmonton, you take the Rangers. I know I was talking to Gabriel. He has minus 124. I have minus 117 on the same parlay here. If you don't want to go that direction, once again, go to the goal line here. Rangers should win by two, I would think. So I think you're kind of safe there. Or find your favorite goal scorer. Maybe it's Panarin. Maybe it's Chris Kreider. You know, and you go that direction as well. So I think there are three ways you can play it. Right now, the game's going to start momentarily. I have the parlay. Give me the Rangers and give me the Oilers.
Yeah, I mean, what are they? 20-7 at home, the Rangers this year. They have been good. And don't forget, on Sunday, they were on the second of a back-to-back, the Rangers there. Columbus hadn't played a game in 3 or 4 days. They were well-rested. It was not a great situation there for the Rangers. This is not going to be a great situation. I'm kind of with you here for Columbus, but I do think maybe the under may not be a bad look. I mean, listen, if Columbus showed anything, they showed a little bit of heart. They were in no mood to be pushed around by the Rangers here. So 6.5 felt kind of like a big number there. So I wouldn't be opposed to saying maybe fewer goals than more goals. Kind of exactly what we got there on Sunday. I don't know that changes, except for maybe the fact that the Rangers just, you know, they get a 3-1, 4-1 kind of situation here.
I lean the under as well. I'm not going to take it, but I do lean the under. Everything you mentioned there, this does smell like a 4-1. I kind of got shutout in my head. Like I said, I think the Rangers are that angry.
Yeah,
maybe a 4-0 shutout here. I'm once again not going to play that either, but just ringing in my head here that it's at the Garden tonight. The Rangers have got to be angry at what happened here. Once again, the Jackets ended that 10-game winning streak or whatever it was. So it's going to be a little bit of an angry team here. So I lean under as well. I think I'm assuming it's Shesterkin in net. I should have checked that. And he's played much better of late. Rangers get a method of revenge tonight against the Jackets.
Yeah, let's not a bad way to look here as the NHL just two games on the ice here. And what are you so what's been your as we get ready for the trade deadline? It's coming up. It's just around the corner here. There aren't a ton of obviously big name players, somebody that's going to move the needle, but there's got to be a team or two that's going to be really active here to try to bolster their chances down the stretch here. And there's got to be some sellers. Who's the sellers, you think, in this market? Is Pittsburgh? Who's going to be just unloading, you think, here, pieces?
Well, you just named probably the most interesting team, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Right? They're sort of in the playoff hunt. They beat Vancouver in overtime the other night. Right, so they're taking care of business of late, but you know, are they really a threat to win the cup no matter what they do? No. And we heard General Manager Kyle Dubas say about 10 days, 2 weeks ago, that he's probably going to trade Jake Guentzel. Guentzel is currently on the IL, has an injury, but he's expected to return right around the deadline, 10 to 14 days here. And he's a free agent. They don't think they can re-sign him. They have too many other big contracts, Malkin, Crosby, Letang, Carlson. So they're going to have to move him. That's a big piece to move. And, you'll hear Dubas say the right thing. So we hope to acquire players who can help us this season. That never happens. How could you trade to a team that wants Guentzel is going to trade you back players that can help you this season? No, they want to trade you draft picks and prospects. They're going for it here. So I think Pittsburgh is in a tough spot here. But I think Guentzel does get moved here. I think the other team you're looking at, Joe, is the Calgary Flames. Mm. Markstrom. The Devils need a goaltender. I have to have one. Yep. They have to. This trade almost got done, once again, about 10 to 14 days ago, but the Devils wanted the Calgary Flames to eat some of the salary. And the Flames said, no, everybody wants Markstrom. We don't have to do that. We'll trade him someplace else here. So it's who blinks first here, but the Devils have to get Markstrom. Calgary also has Noah Hanifin, who's maybe the top defenseman available here. They want to sign him, but once again, if he doesn't put pen to paper by Friday, next Friday at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock, whatever the deadline is, they've got to move him, and he'll bring back a pretty penny as well here. Looks like a Tampa Bay Lightning could be a spot for him.
Ooh, like that. All right, we'll talk some MLB coming up next here, Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri alongside our good friend George Kurtz. We're going to talk a little baseball. It's here, like it or not. We've got Major League Baseball spring training in full effect, which means we are just a couple of weeks away from the start of the 2024 season. And we got a lot to cover here. We'll take a look ahead. But the one thing you might notice this season might be maybe some new uniforms popping up. And our good friend Rick Haro, the sports professor, joined Mike Carver on Coast to Coast earlier today. I can tell you this, somebody is not a big fan here of these new uniforms. Here's what he had to say.
Hey, this is a marvelous time of year. Feels like Halloween a little bit early. You've got underwear week in the NFL as everybody heads to Indianapolis for the combine. And now you have see-through uniforms in Major League Baseball. So Fanatics and Nike got together and concocted some of the worst-looking stuff we've ever seen. And frankly, it's now reminding us of 2006. Remember what happened there, where you had these synthetic basketballs that kind of melt in your hand, and the Players Association said, not on my watch, to talk about Mutombo's line. We got the same issues now with baseball, and it is so different because this is not an economic issue. This is an aesthetic and a dignity issue. So all I can say is they better solve it quickly.
Yeah, I can tell you that I'm probably not running out to get myself any of these jerseys or uniforms here, because for those that might tune in and you catch these, it's interesting, Kurtz. I'd like to say it was a flashback, but it's unlike anything I think we've ever seen in Major League Baseball attire in years past, does it not?
See, you're just talking about, you know, okay, the numbers don't look good and the names don't look good on the back, you know, because they're not stitching them on anyway. They're more ironing the stuff on. All right, that's the least of their problems. That's the part that's not aesthetically pleasing. The see-through pants are a problem, all right? And yes. Listen, we know how it's going to work. We talk about a whole bunch of 20-year-olds here and 30-year-olds. You don't think they're going to test the boundaries of this? What do you do when someone decides to wear a red thong, you know, or leopard underwear? Yep. And these players will do that. You know that. Or, you know, guys who are, they don't mean anything, but they're guaranteed there are players who go commando, and they're not doing it to make a point. That's how they play. That's what they believe. We all know sports players and any sport, they're all superstitious. And he's been going commando all his life, or he went four before going commando. Guess what? He's doing it again, and it's going to show. It's going to show. They have to fix this, okay? The games in Korea starting, I think, 3 weeks from today or 3 weeks from tomorrow. So you got that time. And then everything else starts a week after that. So they've got to fix it. You have to think they're working on the problem here. But it's just amazing to me. This is Major League Baseball. Billions of dollars in industry here. And no one thought to check out the pants to make sure you couldn't see through them.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait for when it starts raining in some of these games. That should be very interesting as well there. Yeah, I'm just saying that should be a little bit more than people cared.
Not letting my daughters watch the game,
for.
Joe. Not letting my daughters watch the game.
There can't be anything comfortable about any of that. But we do have, of course, the season almost upon us here, and we've seen – obviously, some spring training games already, and we're getting a whole lot of hype from the Dodgers. Well-deserved here with what's going on. It feels, though, Kurtz, and we'll start there because I think Yamamoto pitched today. They are, without a doubt, stacked once again. Their season win total hovering around that 104 105 mark. There's nothing but fading to me with the Dodgers. We know everyone expects them to win, but we've been around this long enough to know that when you expect a team to win 104, 5, 6 games, Kurtz, and it doesn't take a lot to go wrong for all of a sudden you not to snare. And they can still win 95 games, win the West, and not cover that win total here when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think they won 110, 111. All right. This team won 100
you
games.
Are...
They won 100 games last year with you and I pitching for them. They lost Buehler, Gonsolin, May, Kershaw missed half the season like he always does, yet they still won 100 games. I mean, they're better this season, right? They've added Yamamoto, added Glasnow. They'll get back the names I just mentioned from the surgeries eventually, so they'll have plenty of pitching depth there. You add Ohtani, you add Teoscar Hernandez. I mean, I'm the first person to tell you their next important game is not till October, so I think there will be parts of the season where they get bored. You know, I do. But I think the Atlanta Braves will keep them honest because the Braves are going to win about 100 games too, right? So that keeps the Dodgers honest. They want home field advantage. They've got to keep playing. You know, so yeah, I think, listen, I do think they win 100. I don't know if they're going to set the record of 2000 Mariners, which is 116. You know, I don't think they're going to go that crazy here, but I think the Dodgers, I'm taking the over. I'm at 103.5. That's where I got it at. I think they win 106, 107, 108. It's going to be, how do we attack them per game is going to be a problem. because I think they're going to destroy people. You know, you want to take the run line's going to be, you know, okay, run and a half minus 190. That's not good. We're not going to like that. How long, Joe, until it's minus 2.5? And that's what we're wrestling with here. You know, I think that's what's coming there. It's going to be what? If you're going to bet down on them to beat the Colorado Rockies, it's going to be minus 450. We know that's coming here. Mm-hmm. They play all these bad teams. There are a lot of bad teams. So it's going to be hard to bet on the Dodgers per game here. But I think, once again, I think they're going to crush the 103.5.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. We watched Tampa last year ride a very hot start in April and May. And then, you know, they got to the All-Star break, came out of that, and things cooled off a whole lot here. But they were obviously still able to utilize all those games they started the season off winning here. And can I tell you something? I mean, Tampa, the pitching might look a little bit differently, but I think they're going to get Springs back at some point, Rasmussen at some point. If it's one thing we know about Tampa is they have no shortage of arms, and they certainly have no shortage of bats here again. It feels like Tampa is set up to do exactly what they do each and every year. We keep ignoring it and pretending like it's an anomaly, but it's not with the Tampa Bay Rays, is it here? They are very capable in April and May of getting out to a monster lead once again and then riding that right past the All-Star break.
You see, I don't think so. I think this is the year it catches up with them here, mainly because you said it earlier. Their top four starters from last year are gone. Okay? I mentioned to Glasnow, I'm a Dodgers here. And then you got all the injuries, Rasmussen, Baz, McClanahan, all with Tommy John. They might all return at some point this season, but generally your first season back, you're not that guy anymore. All right, your number one starter is Zach Eflin. Okay? Number two, Aaron Civale. And then you get the Ryan Pepiot you got from the Dodgers, and the Glasnow trade. Taj Bradley, who's been a failed prospect. Zach, I mean, it's just not there. It's just not there. I think they take a step back. I think they might be the fourth best team in this division, and I don't think they make the playoffs this year. There's too much loss. I think they understand that. You know, that is, we got to wait for McClanahan to come back, all right? More next year. Springs will be back probably earlier than these guys. Rasmussen, Bass. That's a lot of pitching for anybody to lose, and they're not an organization that's going to go out and spend. You know, they're not going to go get Snell. They're not going to have him return. They're not going to get Montgomery. I don't think they. I don't think they can recover from that. Not this year.
Well, that means you must think Baltimore or Toronto is going to be better this year than in that American League East. And Baltimore certainly with Corbin Burns has got people buzzing. But is that enough?
Listen, he's what they needed. They needed a bona fide ace, which Burns certainly is here. But, you know, Bradish getting banged up hurts right now. I still think they're the best overall team. A lot of youngsters there they can hit like there's no tomorrow. Spend some more money. Go get another ace starter, and I'll really believe in them. The team to watch, Toronto. I think Toronto's the best overall team in the East.
Well, they got to be able to hit better at the Rogers Center than they did last year. They changed that entire stadium to fit their lineup, and they couldn't take advantage of it. George Kurtz, always a pleasure, my man. Appreciate it. GTD returns after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome in as Game Time Decisions rolls on here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and I am joined by our good friend Brady Cannon, which means there is golf in the air. And we have we got another tournament on this Florida Swing kicking it off here in Palm Beach Gardens at PGA National, the Cognizant Classic of the Palm Beaches. Getting ready to tee off tomorrow, and outside of Rory and maybe a handful of other guys, not exactly the biggest draw names in golf there, Brady, but there is a lot of top 50 players in the world that'll be here, just, you know, not of the Rory magnitude, but it doesn't mean that it won't be an event that we can't cash a few tickets on, and maybe that's why we'll be able to cash a few pretty big tickets here because the big names aren't here.
Yeah, maybe the trend continues of long shot winners on the PGA Tour. You know, through eight events this year, Joe, last week, Jake Knapp was the shortest priced outright winner so far this year, and he was at about 45 to 1. The last 2 weeks, or the first 2 weeks, really, that we've had a winner under triple digits. Hideki Matsuyama in the neighborhood of 60 to 80 to 1 to win the Genesis. Jake Knapp somewhere in between 40 or 50 to 1. And yeah, it absolutely should continue. And unless Rory goes out and just takes this thing wire to wire, I mean, you've got quite a big split. Rory's in the neighborhood of 8 or 9 to 1 to win this tournament. And then you jump to like 22, 23, 25 with the next closest guy on the odds board. So it's likely that we'll have a fairly big size number finding their way to the winner's circle once again this week. You know, last week the field was lacking star power in a big way. You had Tony Finau, and that was about it. This week it's improved. You've got Rory, you've got Matt Fitzpatrick, you've got Shane Lowry. There's three major champions for you. And then you kind of go tier two. Corey Connors, Ricky Fowler, Sepp Straka, Eric Cole. You know, there's a lot of really solid players in this event. So, yeah, not only does it have our attention as a casual fan, but as bettors as well.
Yeah, and we have also seen this particular tournament at this particular golf course over the years. It's usually one of the top three to, you know, five or six rated one of the tougher golf courses on, you know, of the season when it's all said and done. Because that, you know, that wind starts blowing a little bit there. You better have the iron play. There's water on every hole. It's not terribly long. We talked about this. It's not a forever golf course, but if that wind is blowing, water comes into play on everything. So it it doesn't play as easy as one may think, which means maybe we've got not the 21 under kind of tournament on tap here.
No, absolutely, Joe, and you're right. It doesn't spell out particularly long, you know, on the scorecard, about 71-50 as far as yardage, but it plays a lot longer than that because you're forced to carry over water and you have that wind. Oof. So it does play a lot longer, and you're also correct. It is one of the more difficult golf courses on the PGA Tour. It's absolutely a ball striker's paradise. You really have to flush your golf ball around this place. You have to be accurate. You have to have some distance. You have to be able to work it in both directions. Off the tee, on approach, ball striking is paramount. The short game is not as big of a factor this week. It's all about hitting greens on regulation and hope you find a hot putter for a couple of days, and that should be able to get it done. Now, you know, Joe, being in the area there, they've had a lot of rain this year, and some players have talked about it. The golf course is a little bit softer this year, and also they've cut down the rough a little bit shorter. So it may play a little easier than we've seen in the past. Typically, when this was the Honda Classic, you had winners in the single-digit neighborhood, maybe 10 under par. And then last year, we got to 14 under. The Westgate Superbook out here in Las Vegas set the number at 13.5 for a winning score. You can go under or over that. Maybe you look to play the over with the softer conditions and the shorter rough this year. You might see, you know, 15, 16 under be a winner this year. The winds are down a little bit. I'm seeing basically anywhere from about 12 to 20 miles an hour, which is a good breeze for sure. But I don't think it's going to go crazy. I think it'll make things difficult, but it's not going to blow sideways where, you know, 4 under wins this tournament.
Yeah, no, that's a good number there, and that's actually a good line in the sand for this tournament. And we also know experience matters on this course. We've got a whole lot of names at pretty decent prices, guys that are very familiar here in years past. Daniel Berger comes to mind. Eric Cole comes to mind. Guys that are Ricky Fowler, these guys live here. They play this court. They know it like the back of their hand. And, you know, sometimes that that gives those guys a little bit of an edge. Who are some of these past guys with course experience you're looking at?
Yeah, Joe, you're exactly right. And you're right. A lot of guys live in this area. I went with one guy, Adam Svensson, got him at 60-1, which was really kind of an outlier number. Yeah, he popped on my screen here locally at 60, and so I grabbed him. He's pretty much in the neighborhood of 45-ish now. But, you know, he's really good as far as the ball striking numbers, you know, ranking top 10 in this field for strokes gained off the tee, ball striking on approach. He's finished ninth here before in 2022. Also, a correlated course I used was Riviera, where he's got a couple of top 10 finishes. And he lives in the area. And not only is he very familiar from that sense as far as living nearby, he goes all the way back to like Q school when he had to compete at this golf course as well. So he's had a number of trips around PGA National. I like his chances this week. I played him for an outright and a top 20. By Byung-Hun Ahn, commonly known as Ben Ahn or Benny Ahn, I got him at 28-1. Real good start to the year. Finished fourth at Kapalua and then followed that up the next week at the Sony Open with a loss in a playoff. Finished 16th at the Genesis Invitational a couple weeks ago. He's also had two top five finishes here in the past at the Honda Classic. So Benny Ahn, he's got current form, he's got course form, and he's got related course form, as does Eric Cole, another guy who's been around this track 100 times. And, you know, it showed up last year when he lost in a playoff to Chris Kirk. Very good on approach, very good short game. You know, and prior to that second place finish at the Honda last year, Eric Cole finished fourth in Napa at the Fortinet Championship. Silverado Country Club was another course that I think is very similar to what it takes here at PGA National, a ball striking course primarily. So that was another good sign. And just a few weeks ago, he finished 10th at Riviera, another primarily ball striking course. So Cole made my card, made a lot of people's card this week, and that scares me a little bit. But, you know, all the numbers and the history are there to prove it, and it's similar to Benny Ahn. Good current form, good course form, and good related course form. And then I went with JT Poston, just another tick on the odds board at 30-1. This guy's been really hot to start this year. A fifth place at Kapalua, a sixth place at the Sony. He only missed the cut at the Phoenix Open. Other than that, he had a 10th at Riviera, a 20th at Pebble Beach, and an 11th at the American Express. And in five tries here at PGA National, he's only missed the cut once. So, you know, good play combined with steady play at this golf course. I think he ought to be in the mix as well. And then finally, Matthew Pavone, who we saw win at Torrey Pines, the Farmers Insurance Open there last month, the Frenchman, in only his fourth tour start. This guy's really been getting it done in terms of ball striking. And again, you know, he popped up on my radar this week because of that. In four starts on tour this year, he's finished top 10 in three of them, including that win at Torrey Pines. He's good in hole proximity. Most of the approach shots, we talked about how this course is not real long, but it plays longer. Most of the approach shots are going to be from about 150 to 200 yards. And Pavone, he is 19th in this field as far as hole proximity from that distance. Sixth in strokes gained approach, seventh in this field for strokes gained ball striking. So I played all five of those guys for an outright win and top 20 finish. And then you mentioned Daniel Berger. Berger, a tremendous course history here. He's been away from the tour for about a year and a half with injury. I don't know if he's quite ready to win yet, but I played three additional guys that I think are going to have a good week for a top 20 finish. I played Berger at plus 185, Bo Hostler at 2-1, and Christian Bezuidenhout at plus 250. Those guys just to finish top 20 only.
Let me throw another name at you, because I was there a couple of years ago when he won, and I think he was top five last year. Was Sepp Straka, another guy that if he gets off early, you know, if tomorrow or Friday he can post some numbers, he loves this course. It's very strange, but he really does like to go here. He's very personable guy in and around the golf course, always talking to people by the practice screen. He feels comfortable here, which is kind of interesting. And I guess having won it at a top five, you believe the game is good enough in order to sneak in here, maybe in another top five, top 20?
He's certainly capable of it. He hasn't been in perfect form, but it makes sense that he's comfortable around here because he went to the University of Georgia. So the Bermuda grass greens are something very familiar to him. I actually played against him in a head-to-head matchup. I took Matthew Pavone at plus 115 over Sepp Straka. We'll see.
Love it. All right, there you go. Brady Cannon, we appreciate it. Good luck on the links. We'll cut it out.
Have fun
next
out
year
there.
In Game Time Decisions. Let's do it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. We've got Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri, and I'm joined by the man taking over here at the top of the hour on what is a pretty decent slate of games, over 50 in college hoops. We got six NBA games we're going to keep our eye on, not to mention a couple of NHL games here. Scotty Wetzel, Mr. Opposite Picks, in the house. And Scotty, as we're off and running here in the college hoop slate, you and I were just talking. You know, you get two top 11 teams going at it with Tennessee taking on Auburn. Certainly a lot of interest in this game in the SEC. I think we were both considering the over, and it's kind of crazy when you're thinking two top 11 teams. Like, is anybody playing defense? Probably not in this game here. And I think it's 30-26, still about 4.5 minutes to go. So I do think the over is very, very much in play in this game.
Yeah, yeah. What's going on, partner? Oh, by the way, you and I back together again Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
Not sure if they told you that. They didn't tell me. I just noticed it on the sheet, but that's okay. We don't tell Scott. What's the difference? You know, he'll know. His time changed and everything else. But
need to know. Need to know.
Need to know.
Need to know. That's it. Yes.
So, yes. We got some good college basketball plays, right? I mean, great. Well, not a great slate, but a ton of games, right? You know, it's hard to weed through all these things, right? But, you pick the teams and the games that you generally play in the conferences, and then you kind of weed them out from there. So that was one I like playing over on Tennessee. Little surprised that line was as low. Little surprised that, you know, Tennessee's a pretty good home team against the spread. I wasn't ready to lay 6.5, Joe. I said, this Auburn team, all these teams now on the bubble. This is when it really gets to crunch time. So I don't know if you noticed it, but I have. Boy, you know, when we do the late shows, you know, we get the Mountain West games a lot of times, right? And there's so many ranked teams. It's a good conference this year, right? And same thing with the SEC. But and you want to go with the home favorite now, but, man, they're making it so difficult. Like, some of these Mountain West teams are favored by 7, 8, 9 points over good clubs. Yep. Same thing with Tennessee. Yep. Like, you're 6.5 over a ranked Auburn team? You know, so I went with the over on that one. I think we're going to get some points when everything is said and done. So
we're taking bets on whether or not Rick Pitino wears the Colonel Sanders suit again because it worked. It worked really well for them in that game against Creighton, but now they got to go on the road to Butler. So I'm not really all that confident here that they can go back-to-back, but stranger things have happened. Talk to me about your best bet here tonight in college hoops. What's the one game that stuck out to you the most here tonight?
Well, it's got to be under Virginia, Joe. I got a lot of them, but you know, if I was only going to play one, as we'd like to say, boy, this Virginia team, they have hit a wall, right? I mean, listen, obviously they're not a great scoring team anyway, but you know, when you put under 60 points back-to-back in games and below 50 as well, I mean, they can't score. They just can't score. Now, BC is an over team, but Virginia, 20-8 under last 28 games following it against the spread loss, which they're coming off. 49-23, if you believe in this goofy stuff, on Wednesdays. They don't play high-scoring games on Wednesdays. I mean, they've been a great under team no matter where and when they play all year. And now they got it at 128, which, you know, may sound low, 127.5, depending on where and when you do your shopping. But that's still a pretty decent number for a Virginia game. This has got 65-60, you can even go 65-60 and still go under. But I'm thinking it's 60-55 or something along those lines. You know, the one thing about Virginia is, unlike what other teams, Joe, when they lose, as they have back-to-back games, they do what they do best. And while most teams would come out flying, high energy, let's pump the ball up and down the court, right? Virginia's the opposite. They're the antithesis. They want to come out and play even better defense. So they gave up 80 points in this little losing streak that they had. So I don't think this was going to go over. I do love the under on this one, 120. Like I said, 127 and a half, 128, depending on where you do your shopping.
Have you, and we, that's 9 o'clock, that game. There's a couple of 9 o'clock games. There's only two late ones, right? I think Oregon State, and then Arizona State hosting Arizona. I can't think of maybe four teams I trust less than those two late games. So something tells me, Scotty, we need to cash the tickets before we get to the 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock games, because trusting Arizona to do anything on the road is hilarious. But, you know, they have them priced as two blowout games, but I always hate these rivalry games. There's a couple of games left. There's clearly a couple of teams who have something to play for, but they got to win by double digits. These last couple of weeks are brutal, Scotty, when you come to these teams that know each other. And of course, same state, in-state rivalries makes it very treacherous.
Yeah. I'm going to take a flyer on Arizona State. You know, they're 4-1 the last five games. Yeah, right. I mean, they're at home. They did get walloped by Arizona earlier, but I think that only helps our cause, you know, tonight for them to play, you know, better ball. Like I said, they have played a little bit better of late. You know, Arizona's obviously the much better team, but, boy, you want to give me 12 and a half at home? I'll take that. They're 5-1 against the spread. Their last six games overall are the Sun Devils. 4-1 last five as a home underdog. Giving me double digits? Yeah, why not? Let's. I like this one, Joe, a little bit better than I do the Oregon State one. That's another, like, I put so much money on this stinking Oregon team at home in games that they would lose.
It drives me nuts.
Favorites. So, yeah, I'm done with
it. I don't know what happened to Dana Altman. I used to think he was one of the best coaches in the country, and just it's – I mean, they lose tonight, it's pretty much there'll be no postseason basketball, and then who knows what's going to happen there. We do have a couple of games in the NBA here that are just getting ready to tip off. In fact, they have the Mavericks and the Raptors, 14-12, Toronto over Dallas right now, and a quick 7-3 Indiana against the Pelicans here. I almost fell over when I found out it was Doncic's 25th birthday today.
Yes.
Does 25, Scotty?
Right?
Like,
yeah. You think he's like 35,
at
right?
Least, yeah. At least. At least. I cannot believe he is only 25 years old. It feels like one of the most accomplished, to this point in his career anyway, one of the most accomplished 25-year-olds that's ever played the game, and I think that's saying something.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the ring, obviously, but otherwise, yeah, you would have thought this guy, it's like that college quarterback that you say, okay, you know, Joe Schmo is back for another season. You're like, again? This guy's been playing for this team for 12 years. What do you mean he's got another year, right? And same thing with Luka, 25. It seems like he's been in the NBA for 8 years. You know, and he probably has in the way they come into the NBA so soon. So 25,
absolutely,
yes, you know, you
got to
play his over. Right, you could still do it on most of these sites, in-game live. I mean, we've had a good run. We hit with we've hit two in a row. We hit with the D'Angelo Russell for the Lakers a few days ago. And then who was the last one recently that just hit a day or two ago? So
up and over, huh?
Get one for Alex Caruso it's his birthday.
Oh,
as well,
it's his birthday
Chicago
too.
Bulls.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know
if
he's playing or not. But, you know, if you want to play, if you want to go down that well, you certainly can do that. But I do like Dallas tonight. The way they lost last night, I love betting on teams that lose that way. You know, most people think they're down and out. But you know what? Not in the NBA or not in any really sport. They're ticked off that they lost that game. And I think they come out fine. I think they beat a bad Toronto team.
So are you comfortable with the Battle of L.A.? I mean, the Clippers have a new stadium in Inglewood, right? It seems to be the thing, right? Everyone just goes to Inglewood now and builds a stadium and a thing. No Paul George. They have not looked great since the All-Star break. But it's Kawhi Leonard's playing, so Harden's playing. the whole thing about the Clippers is their depth, right? So they should be able to beat the Lakers or not. What? How are you leaning in this one?
Yeah, that and their uniforms. You know, the big thing about their new uniforms, which I don't notice that big a deal, to tell you the truth. I would stop being the Clippers, Joe, right? I mean, what real ties?
Thank you.
What, you know, championships? You know, I would be so done with this Clipper and this stench. It's like, no, I don't want to be the Clippers anymore. They have never won. We got the greatest players in the world. They can't stay healthy. There is nothing good about being the Clippers. But anyway, just goofing with that. But I do like L.A. I had them Sunday night. They laid an egg against Sacramento, if you remember that, at home. So I know the Lakers and LeBron, they do get up for these games against the Clippers. But, you know, L.A., the Clips have actually dominated this series of late. So I'm going to go with L.A., bounce back spot, meaning the Clippers. Laying only 3.5. There'll probably be more Laker fans there. I get it, but... you know, give me LA just because I had them last time. I'd like to follow up on teams that I had the last time that lost.
Oh, that sounds like a lead in for a system play, Scotty. It is now a Wednesday. Just a couple more days here in February, which means there's got to be a system play in effect here tonight. So what are you looking at?
It's not a great one, but you know, it was going to be Luka. I must admit, you know, we had Luka with the birthday boy, you know, and we had the anti-celebration system last night, make its debut going against Wake Forest, you know, with the, you know, storming the court and everything, and they lost. So that's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to buck the trends here and give you one with California getting points at Colorado back to college basketball, just because. Now, I put it in at 10.5, and I saw it shoot up to 13.5, which is a monster jump, right? But I don't know. Golden Bear, 7-2 against the spread. Their last 9 is an underdog. Colorado, 8-22. Their last 30 games is a favorite in between 7 and 12.5 points, which they still might be, depending on how far the line came back down. They're 2-5 against the spread as Colorado. Their last 7 games overall, you know, that's a lot of points between two teams that are 9-8 in the conference for both teams. So you want to give me double digits? Again, it goes back to, you know, some of these point spreads. I really believe, Joe, that, you know, the more the public bets, and I mean like the public, not the wise guys and all that, you know, the more people bet favorites. And I think the books have kind of caught on to that and bumped these lines up 2, maybe even 3 points higher than what they should be. So I'm going to, not really a system necessarily, but give me Cal plus the major points against Colorado.
All right, so let me ask you here. I mean, we talked about the over with Auburn and Tennessee, 37-36 right now with about 1.5 minutes to go. So the over still in play, but that number with Alabama and Ole Miss, I think it was 166, 167. Yeah. I can't imagine sweating out an under in that game with those two teams.
Yeah, you got to go over, right? I mean, if they don't get to that, no, it's a lot of points, right? But if they don't get to it, it's just because – it's not because they didn't try, right? I mean, it's just because somehow or another – you know, the good thing about that over is that the, you know, somewhat inferior team, Ole Miss, is at home. You know, so you don't have to worry about Alabama winning 90-70 because Ole Miss lays an egg. Like, they're not going to lay an egg at home, right? So you know Alabama's going to get their points, and you got to figure Ole Miss is going to get theirs. So – and the other one – Youngstown State laying 19.5 against Detroit Mercy. The game may be underway, but we got to always bet against 1-28 Detroit Mercy, which honestly is not that much better against the spread. 9-19 against the spread their last 28 road games. They stink, obviously. So go Youngstown.
44-26 right now there with 12 minutes left to play. So Youngstown State is on its way to running over Detroit just like everybody else has there. All right, Scotty Wetzel taking over top of the hour here. Scotty, appreciate it. We'll close it out next year. Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we close out this edition. In-game live, primetime is coming your way here in just a couple of minutes. Plenty of action here to keep you posted on, including college hoops right now. We're at the break. Number 11, Auburn in Knoxville, taking on number 4, Tennessee. What a first half this has been. It's a 44-40 Tennessee lead right now. So 84 points in the first half alone. The over is looking good in that one. Marquette, the number 5 team, also trying to make a statement here against Providence, and a statement they are making here as they dropped 50 in the first half against Providence. That's a 50-26 score right now at the break. We'll see if Providence can make any sort of comeback here in the second half, but certainly have our doubts with that one. We've also got some NBA games underway here, including the Raptors out in front early against Luka Doncic, the birthday boy, and the Dallas Mavericks, 25-18, Raptors on top in that one. We also have the Pacers in front of the Pelicans, 17-12 in that one. There were some questions as farther whether Zion would go, McCollum. Everybody was questionable in that game for New Orleans. Second of a back-to-back, but everyone's in. Brandon Ingram, McCollum, Valanciunas, Zion, the usual suspects there for the Pelicans in, and Indiana out in front there with about 4 minutes left to go in the first, 17-12. You've got the Bulls trying to wipe the stink of that loss against Detroit last night. Well, they'll have an opportunity to get back here against Cavs. That is coming up in just a couple of minutes, plus plenty of college hoops. That's why In-Game Live Primetime is coming your way. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you again tomorrow.